We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs post-game show presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer and Cody Delmendo, after the Cubs lose to the Diamondbacks 4-3 to start that series out in Arizona. This was coming off 2 out of 3 against the Padres, Cody, and everybody's staying up late on a Friday night. You're trying to find Apple Watch. You're figuring everything out. The Cubs score 3 runs. They take a lead. Everything's feeling good, and then they blow it.
There's a whole lot of what I don't even know how to feel about this one. If anything, I'm just mad that Zach Davies gets a win. Like, he actually gets credited a win for this game.
Win and over the Cubs.
And that's stupid and dumb. And honestly, just sounds about right for the 2022 Cubs to this point. So whatever. The Cubs had a really good shot to at least tie the game in the eighth. And then you felt good going into the ninth with Melanson, who had struggled. And of course, with him struggling, the Cubs come to town just in time for him to get right. Yeah. Because again, that is the 2022 Cubs. So that's about as negative as I'll get on the show tonight. But I mean, like, that's, you just watch this team tonight and you're like, the Cubs, you at the end of it, you kind of think like, man, if you had a major league defense out there, you probably at least are tied in the ninth inning. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, it's hard to blame Vargas and VR for everything, but their defense in that third inning, I think, really, I mean, it really hurt the Cubs. You know, they jump out to a 3-0 lead, and you feeling good. Smiley was pretty good those first 2 innings, and it wasn't all their fault. There was definitely some hard contact in there, and, you know, the Diamondbacks came back, and it's just like, just when you feel like you might get a comfortable one,
right?
It's like, no, we're the 2022 Cubs. We make everything hard. So, yeah, it sucks. It is what it is. But at the same time, like, if you want me to spin zone it, like, you know, they played pretty well for what they have going up against a team that's been playing really well right now. So, you know, you just need to – obviously, they need to get healthy. And then, obviously, they need to start hitting when they actually – like, hitting consistently when they have runners in scoring positions. So –
I mean, we talked about the defense thing before the game. We said, you know, that's one of the big problems with the Simmons injury, which we were kind of laughing about his signing early, you know, before the season, like it's not a big deal, but they do need a guy who's, you know, a solid glove, and he's one of the best in baseball, and he's still at Iowa. Horner's hurt, Madrigal's hurt, so like the whole system's broken down right now, and you had guys that aren't used to playing where they were playing, and they did. And then I look at the lineup, and you know, about halfway through the game, I was like, let's see, how many hits do they have? And I think they ended up with maybe 5 in the game. But when you just the names alone, and this is not against these guys, like that they're doing the best they can, and some of these guys are trying to make a major league roster, a major league team, even if it's not the Cubs moving forward, they're trying to make a career out of this. Mm-hmm. But you go down, and other than like Contreras and Happ, like it's Ortega, Wisdom, Rivas, Schwindel, Hayward, VR, Vargas. Like, there aren't a ton of names that strike total fear into another team right now, you know?
Right.
Have guys on that list had some success in the major leagues? Yeah, some guys have been pretty good. Like
the bottom of the lineup did tonight. They were the offense tonight.
Right, like, and those two guys, you wouldn't have said, like, those are who we're counting on going into this game, you know? Like,
yeah, no. Wisdom, and that's kind of like the – if you want to find any positive out of it, is like Ildemaro Vargas hit a 2-run triple. I mean
– it was a rope. It was a rope. Yeah. Like, he smoked it. But, like –
the guy who dove for it, he was nowhere close to that.
No, he wasn't. But, I mean, you know – Wisdom is still striking out way too much, you know, and I don't – do I want to see the Cubs just stop going to him? No, because there's nobody to go to at third base, you know. If there was another solution like the Schwindel thing with Rivas, I'd have a different answer for you. Yeah. But that's just the way it is. You got to ride it out for now because there is no other answer. So, you know, it's difficult to watch, though. He's struggling. They get to that spot in the game and it's like, God, they load up the bases and you're hoping that Rivas can come through with it. And I saw you tweet it too. I don't want to see, normally I'd say, hey, take one for the team, but that was up and in and you can't, you just got to get out of the way. You know, if it was 6 inches lower and it was towards the, you know, the back of his shoulder, maybe I'd say kind of slowly turn and take one for the team, but
he could have done the old, who was it that used to do that? I feel like he played for the Cardinals. Fernando Vina, didn't he always like lean into him? I thought he was kind of known for leaning into him,
like the reverse Floyd Mayweather, who just
you know. But again, I don't know how fast it was. It was definitely a fastball up and in, and it was like, man, I kind of wish it hit him, but I'm also glad it didn't. So
yeah,
it's just up. And then the thing is like you wanted, he was the one guy that you're like, yes, I want him up in this position. So.
Yeah.
You know, I guess in a way you give Ian Kennedy some credit, but like I was frustrated because like he, the Cubs get a gift with an error and then
right.
He walks two guys and you're like, the door is open. Like do something with it here. And, you know, he hits a lazy fly ball out to center. And it's just like, man, just like anticlimactic. Wasn't even like a hard hit ball. Wasn't like Schwindel almost hitting the grand slam the other day. Like it was just very, whatever, like, and that's just how that's baseball, right? I've been being told that the last couple of weeks is that's baseball every time someone hits a hard ball right into a glove. But this time it was, you know, he got out of it, he did his job. But again, I in this lineup right now, Rivas, it's either Rivas, Happ, or Contreras who I want at the plate in these certain situations. And you know, and he just didn't come through. Yeah, Schwindel, I mean,
tonight, 2 hits, you know, yeah, that's a positive. Hits. That's a David Snyder saying that on the chat, and he's right.
Yeah, it's wild because, I mean, I don't know what it, like, if the whole, like, he was going to go to Iowa thing, like, woke him up or something, or maybe it's the fact that they're out west, so it was warmer compared to last week in Chicago. Like, I don't know.
we've heard in the broadcast he's been doing a lot of extra work before the game, you know, just trying to push the ball to the opposite field, like worrying about nothing other than trying to flick the ball into right field and see if that works and see if he can get that going. And, you know, and kind of build off of that. And I don't know, maybe that's working. Maybe I hope for him, it's all the hard work paying off and that he'll be able to turn it around here. Cause you know, he's one of the guys everybody's rooting for.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the way I think of it, like with Schwindel, especially if the Cubs do plan to compete next season more so, is like if he can prove that he can produce for a full season, then like it's just another piece going into next year after he proves that he has a good year this year. And that doesn't mean he's going to be your starting first baseman,
right?
But maybe he could be your DH, and or maybe he could just be a guy off the bench. I don't know. Like, there's so much that goes through. Like, so many people will sit in the chat, or they're on Twitter, my mentions, or the CHGO Cubs account mentions, and they're like, "There's just no one here that's part of the future." It's like, no, that's what the season's all about, and even that matters for even guys like Frank Schwindel and Patrick Wisdom, who even though they're not 24, you know. They showed value last year for a reason. It's not like they just did what they did for no reason at all, or because of luck or anything. These are Major League Baseball players.
Right.
So, like, if they can prove they can do it for a whole year, that benefits the Cubs. Like, and that means something. So I know it doesn't mean something like if Caleb Killian comes up and shoves right away, it's not like that. Or if Brennan Davis comes up and, you know, proves that he's the center fielder of the future, it's not like that, but there are little things to it. So, it's nice to see, he's got a 2-game hit streak now, and yeah. Tonight is first 2-hit game since like April 24th. I think they said on the broadcast. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm just, not only am I rooting for him because he's just a cool dude, but like it does matter for the Cubs' future, even for him, even though he is like 30. So, if there's a positive, he's definitely one of them tonight.
I see Drive Secure 247 on there saying Cubs have too many 4A guys. I don't, I'm not going to say I disagree with you that very well may be the case when the season's over. Some of these guys might make it. We don't know, but like that, it is what this season's going to be like. That's just the case. And on the flip side of that, you can say, well, they only had 5 hits. They had 3 runs in the 3rd inning, and then they had 7 innings of pretty much nothing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? So did the team last year before they traded everybody away. That's not an uncommon theme. Like it happens in baseball. It's just. I understand what he's saying, though. You look at that lineup, like I said earlier, and you don't see a bunch of names that strike fear into the other team's heart. So it was just a tough game to watch. To score the 3 runs early and then nothing the rest of the game was just,
It also doesn't help when you score through those 3 runs and then give them right back.
Like, right away.
The shutdown inning is a real thing. It really does keep the momentum for your team going into that next inning after you score. So, if you don't get the shutdown inning after you score, it just really just is a real momentum breaker. And, coming off the winning the series in San Diego and that huge win in the off day to score those 3 runs, you had to be feeling really good. And then to go and just give them right back is just brutal. But at the same time, like, again, they lost 4-3, just couldn't get the offense going the rest of the game. And again, the 3 runs we score because of Ildemaro Vargas, Jason Hayward, and Jonathan Villar's bunt. Like,
what a great bunt, by the way. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, and Hayward hit it to like the deepest part of the ballpark. He had been hitting the ball hard of recent. Like, he had an almost homer in San Diego. I know a lot of his hard hits, like hard contact, is a lot of ground balls, but he had been hitting some line drives right into gloves of recent. So he was due for something like that. So I wasn't really too surprised to see it. Obviously, would love to get more, but you take any offense that guy gives you at this point in his career.
Agree with that. Our who you got contest wasn't a great one tonight. We did our who you got picks. Well, at least Wilson got, an error. Somebody booted a ball for him, so he got on base there. Rivas wasn't great for me. I still say we should get a point, though, because the interview with Luis Gonzalez, which we never knew was coming, and Ryan picked from Las Vegas. He picked Luis Gonzalez in this game. Little did we know he'd do like a 15-minute interview during the game from the outfield.
I hope Ryan watches the show tomorrow and realizes that we just like gave him Luis Gonzalez and then hears this. And it just has no idea.
We each get a point for tonight because that interview was so unbelievably long. And all I could see in my chat was everybody saying, that's Luis Gonzalez? Like, yeah, he's got triplets at home. The guy's worn down, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked when they like hammered into him, I was like, that's Luis Gonzalez? Like, obviously, when I think of Luis Gonzalez, all I think about is that game-winning hit in the 2001 World Series. And obviously, that was like 20 years ago, but still, like, Luke, you should feel very, very good about yourself, man. Like, you've aged very well. And yeah, Luis Gonzalez has not, man.
Yeah, and he's probably living a real easy life at this point, too, despite the fact that he has triplets.
I don't know how old he is, but, like, he has to be – he's definitely older than you, but, like – I don't know, man.
I'm gonna Google it here while we're talking. I'm gonna Google how old is Luis Gonzalez. What did you think of Drew Smyly? I mean, at least he got him six innings.
Yeah, I mean, he gave him length. The fourth run, I mean, they gave him a wild pitch for that, so I guess you can blame him for that. But you know, I guess if you want me to be negative about it, it's like, well, you look at the batting averages or the OPSs of the Diamondbacks lineup, like there's no one there that's also scaring you. Maybe you could tell Marte scares me. He's a guy that I definitely knew about coming into the series. And then he had three hits tonight. And the first two hits that he had were two doubles that helped the Diamondbacks score. So, or one of them helped the Diamondbacks score. But, you know, I thought after the third inning, he really settled in and honestly really surprised me. I thought they should have taken him out going into that third time through the lineup and when he was going to have to face Marte again. The third time he faced Marte, he hit like a bloop single up the middle on like a half swing or something like that, I think. But, you know, I mean, again, this Diamondbacks lineup, it's not –
They've been bad this season.
As far as the offense,
that's helping them win. It's the pitching. Yeah, you know?
It's the pitching. The lineup. There's no one there that really scares you. I wouldn't say it's like the Cubs level, but no one. It really doesn't scare you, especially when you look at the numbers. And so you get again. Drew Smyly went and did what he had to do to keep the Cubs in the game, and that's honestly all you can ask. I mean, for the rotation that the Cubs have, like if you get someone to give you six innings, you're crowning them like one of the best pitchers in the Cubs rotation right now. So if the Cubs can get more outings like this, like, you know, five, six innings, like I was thinking, you know, maybe he was going to, after he got, he allowed the second hit in that fifth inning. I thought Ross was going to take him out and he didn't. And he ended up striking out whoever was batting leadoff for the Diamondbacks tonight. To get out of it. I think that's what happened. But, and so, you know, I thought he was, again, despite the four runs, I thought he was serviceable. He was exactly what his role on a baseball team is, like just keeping team in the game, right?
Yeah, it wasn't an awful outing. As for the four runs, I would say I just don't know how many times this offense will be able to match four runs.
Right.
You know, like if you had a great offense, I'd be like, sure, four runs. But there's such a small margin of error for this team because of the way it's built that four runs is a lot. I'm not saying it was a bad outing. Agreed. Like that's not a terrible outing for a major league pitcher. It's tough for this offense to overcome four runs. And I think it's tough for Drew Smyly to overcome some of the defensive mistakes that were behind him. So like, you add those two things up and it's a loss to most teams. I just think that at least a good team in Major League Baseball, you know, like they were saying in the broadcast, the Rockies, I think were losing today, but they'd be the only team not over 500 in division and they'd be 500. So Arizona's a good team. And I do see David Snyder here saying, waiting for the day Ross finally gives up on having Ortega leading off, for the love of God, anybody but him, except for Hayward.
I've mentioned this before.
You know, it's the running Cubs joke for a better part of a decade, minus Dexter Fowler. Like, who's batting leadoff for the Cubs? I have no idea. Like,
yeah,
Whit Merrifield's not running through the door. Like, you know, you've only been asking for him for a decade.
At this point, with Nico and Suzuki out, the Cubs were very, very thin. Like,
yeah,
like you, like there was someone in our mentions tonight on Twitter yelling about Hayward or whatever, and it's like
he hit it hard.
Yeah, and then also, like, have you, like, Yan Gomes is like the only one on the bench, basically right now. Like they have no one because those two guys being out, and Simmons still in AAA. Like, and Ortega's leading off. I said this on the last show. It was either the last show or the show before. The guy has somewhere between a 10 and 12% walk rate. Like, that is why he's leading off.
Right.
He works in a bat, and he
always. Yeah, because his batting average is like 200.
Yeah. He will work in a bat. And, like, if it was up to me and this Cubs team was healthy, I would bat Alfonso Rivas lead off, put Nico at 5 or 6, Suzuki at second, then you could put Contreras at third, and then just move down from there.
Right.
But they're not healthy right now, and that is what it is. So there's, I mean, you really can't complain about the lineup. You can't really complain about, you know, the where guys are in the lineup. You can't complain that Hayward's in there. Like, I mean, just that's just how depleted they are at the current moment. The fact that they lost 4-3 with this lineup is actually kind of impressive, which is just so freaking sad, honestly.
Yeah, and we haven't talked a lot about it, but I mean, obviously Ian Happ's having a pretty good season. He's doing a nice job in left field. But Frazier's been out a long time, you know, Clint Frazier.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a guy we wanted to see, and that's a guy who does provide some pop potentially if he can live up to his billing or find, you know, maybe the change of scenery is good for him. And so we at least put the bar high for what he could do. You know what I mean? Like, his ceiling is high if he can get there.
If he can play, if he can be healthy, and
if he can be healthy. Now, with Hap playing well, I would assume that means he's more likely a lot of DH time, but, like, I would at least like to see his bat, get back into this lineup and show you something. You know, that's, again, he's another guy that's got a question mark, but most of the guys on the team coming in this season, other than Contreras, had some sort of question mark next to their name. One other thing I thought of too was that, like, you know, as far as the pitching staff goes, not that Smiley's not a guy, but you keep shrinking the pitching staff. Like, you get Miley back and Stroman goes out, and now he's been out for a while with what we're thinking is probably COVID.
Yeah.
You know, and I think. right. Like, we saw that the Guardians had to cancel their game or postpone their game this week because of it. Lucas Giolito was, I guess, came down with it or was exposed to it. So he was out. Yeah. And, you know, I hope that like the Cubs can't afford for that to spread around the clubhouse, obviously for a lot of reasons, but I mean, they're so banged up right now. If it is COVID that Stroman has, if he wasn't isolated quick enough, man, it could get really, I mean, if you think it's tough right now, let a case of COVID run around that clubhouse. And you're going to have Iowa here, basically.
Like, yeah.
I'm hoping that's not the case. It looks like they've done a nice job of probably isolating it. Again, if that's indeed what he has, the Cubs have never said that. But we're starting to see it be a factor again in around the majors this season for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't looked ahead to see who starts tomorrow for the Cubs or even Sunday.
Hendricks is tomorrow, and Sunday's supposed to be Miley, I believe.
Okay.
So it's not Stroman again. And once he's out for a while, then will he have to build himself back up? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how long he's going to be out.
Just so disappointing because he had such a great start in Milwaukee. And you thought he was going to, you know, you thought it was going to lead to more starts ahead. I mean, we don't really know what he's been up to. Is he, if it even is COVID? I mean, they haven't pointed. They haven't panned the camera to him in the dugout, so I'm assuming he's not even with the team. Right. Like, it is very, you know, unfortunate, you know, because, again, he's just another guy who eats innings and puts your team in position to win. So, you know, I guess we just got to wait and see for that. But I mean, I do think in the short term, the position players that are hurt are definitely the biggest loss for this Cubs team, because at least the Cubs got Wade Miley back. And if you're getting six innings out of Drew Smyly, you're feeling good about him going into his next start. And the schedule is getting easier. It's not like they're going to be playing the Dodgers again anytime soon. So, you know, they can work around some things. Justin Steele pitched pretty well on Sunday Night Baseball against the Dodgers. And the box score doesn't exactly say that, but he was pretty good in my opinion. So I wouldn't say that the rotation is coming around or anything, but I think they can get by more so than what this lineup is right now. Like, I mean, really, really missing Nico, really missing Suzuki's just the threat that he has provided.
Big time.
And like, you're missing the defense from Nico. You're missing, like, I mean, he's been hitting rockets all across the diamond. Like, it just sucks so much. So much, especially for Nico, because it's not even like it was his own cause of the injury. I mean, he ran into collided with an umpire. It's just,
yeah, I mean, so how unlucky is that? Like,
it's the 2022 Cubs at this point, man. It's just like how many more stories are gonna have to deal with this? Because it's like, we're you've been saying, how everyone else has been saying, like, it's all about finding the answers for the future and all this.
If there are answers, right?
Right. I mean,
there have been. Look at the bullpen again tonight.
Yeah. Bullpen tonight. Gesellman. Chris Martin got a huge out in the eighth inning to keep it 4-3. And Connor Menez, who was just called up recently, played for the Giants for a couple of years, just called up from AAA. Like, he was very solid in his Cubs debut. So, yeah, the bullpen was real solid again tonight. So it's just like, we can get some offense. Like, if they could find a way to get some consistent offense going, like, who knows? They could just go through the stretch of bad teams and, I don't know, find their way, find themselves on the outside looking into like a 500 record if they were to get, you know, just some consistency going. I honestly feel like that. It doesn't feel like that because they're what, 11-20 now, and the offense looks like this with this lineup, and you don't know what you're getting out of the pitching. But again, if they could get a little bit healthier and get some guys back, things do look a little bit better at least. But again, for the future wise, yeah, you need these guys to get back just to keep proving that they belong with the roster moving forward and stuff like that. So
I feel like when it's all said and done, and you know, we're a long ways away, but I feel like when we're all said and done, that the slogan for the 2022 Cubs may be "if," you know, like we could say "if" about so many. We could say it about individual players. We could say it about free agency. We could say it about if they spent more money. We could say if they had kept this guy. We could say if they didn't trade that guy. We could say, you know, I mean, we could go on and on. Like, there's so many ways this team could have gone this season. But when you have that many questions, the most likely direction for your team to go is struggling. And, you know, I like the way they played against the Padres. Now I hope they can respond and get the next two games against Arizona. And then this game won't feel that way, you know?
Yeah, and that's an optimistic way to look at it.
Zach Davies. Like, we've seen Zach Davies. He's a beatable pitcher.
And in that third inning, Zach Davies reminded me of why I was glad he wasn't a Cub anymore. Like, he gave up all that hard contact. And, like, you know, to go back to Patrick Wisdom, I mean, he struck out three times tonight.
I know.
And, like, two or three, I think two of the three were from Zach Davies. And I just, I don't know, man. Like, he's the one
I give him credit for the walk. I give him credit for the last walk.
He did get the walk, yeah. And like that, like those types of things bring me back. And it's like that guy could be a really good depth piece on a really good baseball team. He could be, because he's really good defensively, and he obviously has insane power, but he just strikes out so much. And it doesn't matter what type of pitcher it is, because he can't hit the high fastball consistently. And then you throw a soft tossing guy in there. and he can't hit him either. So I just like, you know, I know there's a reason that despite being a first round pick that he was traded multiple times and he didn't make his major league debut until he was 29 years old. I know there's a reason, but you're still a first round talent for a reason. And there has to be a happy medium that you can get out of him. Like if he's going to strike out a ton, then we need him to walk more, you know, or we right. need him to, I don't know, just
but he's
like,
one of the few guys on the team with power. So it's like, I don't really, we can't afford for him to just be walking. Like
that's true.
You know, it's like he's got to drive the ball and he's got to find a way to cut down. He's not going to be around forever if he doesn't cut down those strikeouts. Like he might have enough, one more chance after this, because I think there is a spot for a guy like Patrick Wisdom on some team's bench with that kind of power for a pinch hitter or a backup, but not as an everyday player if you continue to strike out that much. And it's not telling him anything. He certainly knows that. Right. Rhonda says choke up on the bat. You know, the old little league thing. Rizzo used to really choke up on the bat with two strikes. Hey, all I can say is the Cubs were up 3-0 and they lost that lead instantly 4-3. We should have known that they were going to lose to Zach Davies because it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I do love
that stuff.
I tweeted from the CHGO Cubs account and I was like, what was your favorite part of the 3-run lead? And some girl, I retweeted it from the account because it was my favorite one because it's so funny. But she was like, she quote tweeted and was like, the friends we made along the way. I mean, this lead lasted for like 5 minutes. I was just like, yes, this is the humor we need tonight. So I was appreciative to see Cubs fans having fun with that one because we obviously see a lot of negative, pissed off people these days. And I get it. This team is not good right now. And, you know, we deserve better as fans, and me and you deserve better to a better team to talk about. Let's be real. But that was just a good funny moment on social media for us. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of social, did you see the CHGO_sports Twitter account, like our main Twitter account, had the thing about Friday the 13th with Turk Wendell, former Cubs pitcher. It's a good thread if you're looking for one to go back and find something about Friday the 13th. He used to wear number 13. He was a super quirky pitcher for the Cubs in the 90s, and he wouldn't just jump over the third base line when he would go to the Cubs dugout. He would like leap into the air like with one leg up higher than the, like he was Michael Jordan going up for a layup or something like that, you know. Like he would jump over, he would brush his teeth in between innings in the dugout. And they used to, the old Cubs dugout before the renovation, used to have right behind the dugout down this tiny hallway, like an arm's length away, was like a tiny urinal and a little miniature sink, like one that you would never want to ever have to use in your lifetime.
I can only imagine.
The fact that he brushed his teeth over there in between innings.
Yikes.
He was a really, really quirky guy, and he used to just pound like piles of licorice into his mouth. So the thread goes through each of the things that he does. And one of the funnier parts was for the brushing of the teeth. I got a text tonight about the thread, and my buddy Dave is like, "Hey, you know that's my buddy and that's holding the Turk-o-meter in the outfield." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "He didn't even know that picture existed. Like this picture is, you know, 25 years old, at least 26 years old, something like that. And he's holding up the Turk-o-meter. The guy wanted to know where we got the picture. So I have to look into that for him, but,
interesting. Yeah.
So random, but do you have any superstitions or did you ever?
I mean, when I played, I only played until eighth grade. I learned very quickly that I was not good at baseball.
So did I.
I don't think there was anything I did when I played. I was honestly, obviously, the game's such a mental sport. I remember in practice, I would always like, I could field easily, but like anytime that you put me in game situation, I just I look like Ildemar Vargas playing shortstop. but yeah, no, I don't really have any superstitions, I don't think. No.
Did you buy the Curse of the Billy Goat? I don't know if I've ever run into a fan that was like, yeah, the Curse of the Billy Goat. That was a real thing, man. Like,
I mean,
I know it's easy to say since they've won the World Series. I just don't know anybody right. that actually believed that.
It's not that I ever actually believed it. It was just always something that's honestly, it was more of just something that's always been thrown at me is just like to make yeah. fun of the Cubs, you know, that and Bartman. Like there's all right. kinds of things that have been thrown at me for being a Cubs fan my entire life. So, I mean, the goat thing, you know, it's an interesting story. That's for sure. I mean, the right. fact that it made its way all the way up until, you know, from the 40s all the way up until the next century is kind of insane, but you know, I just remember during the World Series game 7, I sat in the same spot the entire time and like I didn't even get on my phone.
Superstitious.
I may have like tweeted once or twice, but then like but was just done, like especially as we got later into the game, like I just watched the game. I just didn't want to like do anything yeah. that was going to like, I don't know. Like I just sat there and every time they scored, I would jump up and, you know, celebrate and scream and run around my living room. But like, you know, as soon as I got that out of my system, I'd sit down and just, you know, try and just not mess with the game, you know.
But you didn't wear like the same shirt for every game that they won or anything like that.
No, I will say in the 15 playoffs that included the wild card game, I think I just didn't tweet at all during the games. I like turned my phone off for every game I watched during the playoffs in 15, and so I felt like that had a part in them going to the NLCS. But you know, but. That's probably the most superstitious I ever been as a Cubs fan is probably in the 15 playoffs. Cause it was just, you know, as we all know, just one of the more insane fun years that they've ever
given
us.
What about saying no hitter perfect game? Like, oh, somebody's so-and-so has got a no hitter going. I think that's the dumbest thing in all of baseball fandom. Like people are like, you ruined it.
Yeah.
Like if whoever, Len Casper, Boog, whoever it might be, like for them not to say
it's become so
hitter going on is insane. That's their job.
Right. It's become more normalized to where people are saying it. So I don't think anyone, I feel like people.
Oh no, there's always some crazy person that is just.
Oh, for sure. But I definitely.
That's the reason there was a hit.
I definitely feel like it's become more normalized now though, where it's like more and more, I hear more and more broadcasters saying that it's going to happen or that it is happening earlier. And, you know, I don't know if it's affected, like obviously right. it's affected, but like, I don't know. I don't feel like anyone cares too much anymore. The amount of times the MLB Twitter account tweets that there's a no hitter going and then it actually happens.
They don't care if they ruin it.
Right. You know what I mean? Like they let people know that it's happening. And then,
right.
you know, we see if it happens or it doesn't. Like that's kind of like my point with social media and everything. It's kind of become like a little normalized to me. So I don't know. Maybe some people might think differently.
All right. How did your bets do tonight?
Oh, I did actually very well. The Yankees covered. I had Jason Hayward 2+ total bases. He got that double and was like, oh, that was the easiest bet ever. So I had a decent night.
Well, new pair of Jordans next week.
Oh, huh? Don't let my girlfriend hear that. I told her I'd stop buying shoes for a while. the best
place well, you bought that scooter now. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah. Especially now that I bought that scooter, which I'm going to go ride tomorrow. It's going to be a perfect spring summer day here in Chicago for at least
a little nice. Bit of days.
Yeah. So, anyway, I made all those bets on PointsBet. And the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you make a $50 or more first time deposit, you receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we'll help you. Remember that PointsBet is your home for live in-game betting. They even have a new exclusive feature, live NBA same-game parlay. For the first time ever, build the perfect live same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. You can even boost your live same-game parlays. And now online signup is available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. Guys, I learned so much tonight. You know, Luke managed to get onto Apple TV Plus or Apple TV and watch.
I already had it. I just didn't know I had it.
He had it apparently. He figured that out, and he's also figured out how to use PointsBet. So again, if Luke can do all that, man, all of you can do it as well. So signing up with the fastest sports book is now easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. Use code CHGO to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
CHGO, doesn't matter what time of night, we're doing these post-game podcasts for you. Post-game podcast, pre-game podcast. We've got podcasts during the week, every team that you follow every day. Premium written content for the members at allchgo.com. Hope you're enjoying that. Ryan Herrera, Jared Willis, writing some great stuff for you on your Cubs content. We got dope merch for all the teams. Oh, Cody, by the way, I don't know if you can see it.
Huh? Oh, Stucky's wearing his swag. Got the dope merch finally.
Got the dope merch on. Finally arrived at my house. I was one of the last to receive it. You do get a free shirt when you become a member, so make sure you sign up. And there's the members only Discord, the CHGO Lounge. David Snyder says on the chat, by the way, he believed in the GOAT, especially after Bartman. Hell, the curse lasted a long, long time.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I know.
I get it. I get why people were, especially Cubs fans, I get why they're superstitious for sure. I don't know. To me, what being a Cubs fan has always been about, especially before 16, was just they're always the underdog. And I just love a good underdog story, right? Like, that's why I was always a fan. And whatever, I get why a lot of people were, you know, when to blame the GOAT or, you know, blame Bartman, whatever, man. Like, it is what it is. A lot of people will take it a little overboard, and it makes us all look bad, but whatever. It is what it is.
No Boog, no JD tonight. As you mentioned during
the want to talk about the broadcast?
We had to find Apple TV. I forgot that I had Ted Lasso and that Ted Lasso was Apple Plus, which is the whole reason I got it. So at some point, I did go through the whole process of getting the app and signing up for the thing, and so I had it. Other than that, I won't say too much about the. It's sensitive. I hate when people just rip on a broadcast when they have no idea what would be going on behind the scenes. Like there was, for instance, there was an audio part where they cut to the person in studio, and she was giving the scores and highlights they were going through, and clearly the audio was way off, and you know. People would jump all over probably and say, oh, she's the worst, this and that. Well, the audio person could be wrong. Her mic might have run out of battery. Maybe she just forgot to turn on the mic. I mean, 1,000 things could have happened.
For sure.
And only a quarter of them might be her fault. So I will say the picture was super sharp. Like it seemed sharper than most baseball games I see. I don't know how or why that was the case, but I will say that the video picture of it was sharp, and I did like the home plate angle from like behind the pitcher. It seemed wider than normal. It seemed like you saw more of the first base line and third base line with the pitcher, the catcher, the umpire, and the batter all in the picture. And I, for some reason, it seemed like a slightly wider view of that. I like that. Other than that, I whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if they did introduce – well, maybe they did introduce themselves, but, like, didn't show their faces.
Right, yeah.
But, like, I did not know who any of them were except for Katie Nolan for, like, the first 3 or 4 innings. I did not realize that Cliff Floyd was in there, and it's like, oh, he's been on Marquee before. Like,
that's the only voice I recognized was Cliff Floyd.
I had no idea that was Cliff Floyd.
But I forgot.
Yeah, I mean, I knew there were two dudes and Katie Nolan in there, but like I had no idea it was him. So again, that might be my fault. That might be their fault where they just like didn't say who they were. I don't know. But yeah, the picture was sharp. I did like the on the field interviews. You know, they did the managers and then they interviewed Luis Gonzalez. I know you thought that interview was kind of long. There were times when they would do the around the league highlights during the inning. Like that was kind of annoying because it's like, okay, do like one game and then like bring the game back and maybe talk about the other games or something. That was kind of annoying.
We missed the Contreras at bat. We missed his at bat the one time.
And then like there was a double play that the Cubs, like it was actually a pretty big double play because it was like the eighth inning, double play that they got. And they like the picture was so small, you couldn't tell exactly what happened. So it was like they came back, there's two outs and there's no one on base. So you're like, okay, they got a double play somehow. So yeah, I mean, there's some things they could fix, but I did think it was good. I'm kind of with you. I don't like to completely put down a broadcast, even though I'm really not a big fan of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, but I will say Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus is more fun than ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. I will give them that.
I just, as far as an overall thing, it's not necessarily who was doing the broadcast for me or the audio or the picture. To me, the idea of just blacking out a game because someone paid a lot of money to try and take over the rights to that game, which I understand that they paid you a lot of money to do it, but
yeah,
I don't get blacking out the game, at least in those markets. Like it's available to everybody, but blacking out a local broadcast seems pointless. Like you're trying to grow the game. Like baseball's fan base is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, less and less kids are into baseball. So I get it. You're trying to reach them potentially by streaming this, and you're like, okay, we stream it on Apple, and that's going to be the future. I understand that, but all the old people out there are like,
yeah,
where the heck is my Cubs game at, and how do I see the Cubs tonight? And I don't get why it's that difficult to just broadcast it to both ways for that one night. Like you can still reach a new audience by putting it on Apple and advertising that you're putting it on Apple, and yet still have the hometown call for all the fans that have watched you for decades and done it one way. Like those people, like people that are 80 years old and are watching the Cubs game, the odds of them finding Apple TV tonight, not very good.
And
they still wanted to watch the game, and they probably couldn't.
There were a lot of people complaining to us. Yeah, there were a lot of people complaining to us. Like,
that's a baseball decision. It's not a Cubs decision.
Right. And there were a few people I kind of told that to. I was like, this isn't the Cubs. This is the MLB. You know, just this was their decision. I didn't go in depth on why, because it's more than 280 characters to just explain that. But like a lot of people replied to our tweets and was like, I don't like this broadcast, and I keep like they're complaining about their stream interrupting and stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that's on your internet more so than probably the stream or Apple or whatever. But
yeah, my internet broke up a little bit on it a few times.
I'm not gonna tell them that. So yeah, it is what it is. So yeah, there's definitely a lot more like things with that. But yeah, they're definitely trying to reach a younger audience, and they're trying to get, like you said, grow a game in a different way. I mean, in a way, like I agree with you, but then also like how many of us would have just watched the Marquee broadcast tonight if they would have played it on Marquee?
Most of us.
Like, but, I feel like me and you would have watched it on Marquee. You know what
right.
I mean?
And that's the problem, is that they paid so much money to do this. Like they're like, no, we don't want anybody else to be able to see it any other way. But
yeah, I feel like maybe after a year, they should allow you to like they should bring it or allow you to decide like if, just to get like an idea, like for 1 year, get an idea if people like it. And then next year, then give people the option. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to watch Apple TV Friday Night Baseball next week when the Pirates and the Cardinals play, because I could care less. But I will at least know now that like their broadcast is fun. Like it's good. Like I wouldn't say that they're bad at what they're doing. And again, like we just said, the picture is sharp. Like, I really like their in-game graphics, the probabilities in the bottom right corners of the screen. Like that was good stuff. Like I like that. So it's not that I think what they're doing is bad, but yeah, maybe like next year I feel like they need to give people the option.
Agreed. I see Rhonda saying yes, she had to listen to the game on the radio, and Rachel chiming in from London. So we know it's morning there. You know, well, it's morning here now too, I believe.
Yeah.
So
she also says, can't believe how difficult it is to watch your own team over there. Yeah. Welcome to America where nothing is easy. I promise right? you.
Hey, by the way, no Anthony Rizzo in the lineup for the Yankees on the South side tonight. So Rizzo's in town, and we did want to address quickly game one of the series where he did play. But Rizzo had some pretty good quotes. One of them talking about Chicago when he was speaking with reporters before that series started. And it's to me, it's kind of a bummer, actually, that his first return back wasn't against the Cubs, because that would have been really cool. But he said, you know, it would have been a zoo. So It was easier to do it on the South side coming back. But just talking about like the first thing that he thought of when he was getting into town on Thursday was noticing that Lake Michigan was calm. And the first thing that popped into his head was, oh, the wind is blowing out at Wrigley. You know, like,
yeah,
that's a guy who's played a lot of games at Wrigley Field. And then I saw his foundation and some other Twitter accounts pointing out, I mean, this is one, if you can see it on our live stream on YouTube.
On YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, he's showing that he did a picture several years later with a kid who was a cancer patient, and now he's back in the Yankees uniform, and the kid has a full head of hair and is healthy and doing great, and he's ringing the bell because he did his last treatment. So, you know, I think – the fact that he was booed on the South side, I understand it's the crosstown rival thing, but it's bothersome to me because he, forget the baseball thing. You should at least know what he does in this community. And he's coming back to town as a member of the Yankees, and yet he's still reaching out to those kids and going to visit kids in a hospital that had cancer, because that's something he went through and is personal to him. It bothers me that fans want to go out and boo him. You have every right to boo. I just think that's a stupid thing to do when he's not even playing for the team that you don't like.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this in pregame, and we can dive into it a little bit more now because we have more time. But I sent a tweet out like after the Sox lost last night. It was like, you know, when you boo Anthony Rizzo, you kind of deserve 15 runs getting dumped on you. I don't care if Rizzo only went 1-for-5, but you had a triple and an RBI. And what I thought was funny was like all the Sox fans coming in to either troll or defend themselves were just pointing out that he went 1-for-5, like whatever, like they completely missed the point. That's the thing. Like, I don't care that he went 1-for-5. What I care about is like what the guy's done in the community, and you're out here booing him. Like, it's like he's not playing for the Cubs. He, you know, never said or did anything to like piss you guys off. Like, there's no famous quote of him saying anything about the White Sox. It's not Chris Bryant when it was taken out of context, but like when he said St. Louis was boring, like it's nothing like that. Like, I don't get really why anyone in the league would not like Anthony Rizzo as a person. I get like, as far as like crosstown or whatever, but like if it was something like that, I just don't feel like there would have been as many boos. And from what I heard there were a lot of boos. And like, to me, that's just disappointing, because it's like, to me, that just shows more little brother syndrome. And like that is what it is. Like, clip that, send it to all your Sox fans. I don't care. Like, like seriously, like, because what did he do to you? Like, your team is good. Your team is supposed to be a World Series contender. That's what I've been told, even though you're 15-16 or whatever it is now. Like, shouldn't you be caring about your team and whether or not you're going to make the playoffs this year instead of going out of your way to boo a former Cub who is now a Yankee? Like, I don't know. It just, again, like, I just feel like it's very little brother. It's very something that we would see from our not so good friends in Milwaukee, like their fan base. Like, it's just.
Yeah, it's not Ryan Braun. He's not a steroid user that was cheating the game. I'll give you another example of, and they're in totally different players, but like, it's why I don't agree with booing Jason Hayward. You know, Cubs fans that are I'm trying to be fair to both sides here. Like, it's not all Sox fans that booed him. I'm just saying, think about what the guy is doing in your community. And the same is true of, you can be angry with Jason Hayward for the way he's playing, or disappointed with Jason Hayward for the way he's playing, but don't be mad at him for the money that he accepted from a franchise that said, this is what you're worth. And he said, okay, I'll take that paycheck. Cause A, we would all do that.
Yeah.
And B, when you boo him, remember when he's off that field, he's doing incredible things in our community, trying to help out this city of Chicago. And that didn't stop during COVID. He consistently has been good. And I'm not trying to defend the contract versus the performance you've had on the field or any of that. I'm just saying you have a right to boo if you want to, but sometimes think about the booing before you do it.
Right. Yeah. And again, I think, you know, Hayward's situation is a lot different from Rizzo. Like yes. Rizzo is beloved in the city, mainly on the north side. And he will be forever a Cub, and he deserves a statue outside Wrigley Field and statue right row next to Fergie Jenkins one day. And all of that. Jason Hayward, not so much. He deserves to perhaps be part of the organization once he retires, for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't be mad about that, right? But, you know, I just think with Rizzo, it's just different in terms of, like, what he's done in the community and just kind of, like, there's no one out there who's ever like said this was a bad guy. I don't know. Like, again, I think I said this in pregame, I would have got it if it was Javi Baez or like Wilson Contreras, because those guys talk, those guys show passion and emotion, and like that will rub the opposing team's fan base the wrong way. Like there's a reason that I can't stand Yadi Molina. He's one of those types of guys. Like, there's a reason that I don't like Ryan Braun. He was kind of one of those types of guys, you know, on top of the steroids thing and getting that guy fired. But like, you know, what did Rizzo ever do to like rub White Sox fans the wrong way is kind of like the thing that I just didn't understand and just thought it was kind of classless. So, you know, if Sox fans want to come yell at me about that, fine. They've been yelling at me for like 2 weeks just because I tweet subtly about them whenever they're, you know, focusing on the Cubs when their team is 15-16 or whatever and really disappointing their fan base right now with the way they're playing. So
I'd be just as confused if Cubs fans booed Mark Burley walking into
or
the
or Paul Konerko, right?
Paul Konerko, it would make
AJ Pierzynski is like the one that you can always be like, that makes
AJ
sense.
I would understand Cubs fans Ozzie. Booing Ozzy, yeah. And Ozzy would probably love it if they booed him, and so would AJ. But booing Burley or Konerko or, you know, whoever just doesn't seem to make sense to me. Yeah. So whatever. That's my two cents on that.
You got it out.
Hey, it's getting late. In fact, it's actually getting early. It's 12:42 in the morning.
This is early in London.
Yeah, and it's even earlier there. You want to start your day with a competitive edge? Well, Strava CBD coffee is a game changer, and it's helped thousands of people improve their overall wellness and quality of life. Strava delivers delicious, fresh roasted specialty coffee infused with organic broad spectrum CBD. Now, CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits. You'll feel alert and focused without the jitters. Live your day more balanced and with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains too. Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can even help you enjoy a more restful sleep so you wake up feeling your best. Now, the best part is Strava is all about quality too. Everything is small batch, fresh, and shipped straight to your door. Strava also offers concentrated full spectrum CBD for those looking for a more traditional CBD format with a powerful entourage, effective benefits. CHGO listeners can save 25% on their entire purchase when they use the code CHGO25. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you use the code CHGO25 at checkout. Discount coupon valid on non-subscription purchases only, one use per customer. Now, if you already love Strava, subscribe and save with the Strava Coffee Club. You're in control. You save on your favorite coffees and have them automatically delivered to your home or office on your preferred schedule. That is Strava Craft Coffee.
Shout out to Ravi in the comments. He's just here every night.
And he really is.
He'll tell random weird stories, but he'll also like, you know, he'll send messages like he just sent this one. Cubs got guys in the minors. Hoyer coming back in 23. They can get better. Like he'll occasionally show that optimism. Most of the time it's pretty negative, but he'll occasionally show the
he's booing Brzezinski.
Yeah, he's booing Brzezinski. Like, I don't know. Whoever he is, like, I just enjoy his comments. Of all, like, it's always a mix, and I enjoy it.
Anybody that's up at 12:45 and is in the chat right now after a 4-3 loss on the road, we appreciate you.
Seriously.
All right, so game two of the series. Like I said, they can still win the series. Go out and get the next two games, but it's not going to be easy, and you got a pretty good pitcher's duel coming up on Saturday. Kyle Hendricks against Zach Gallen. We know Hendricks was awesome in his last start, almost went the distance, 8 2/3, and just a handful of hits. Was it three hits? I think three hits in that game.
Three hits, yeah.
Clearly his best outing in a long time.
Yeah.
And on the other side is Gallen, who has a 0.95 ERA, 26 strikeouts and 4 walks this year. So we talked about the Cubs offense only getting 5 hits in this game. Boy, they better come with a solid approach and take batting practice before the game on Saturday, because it doesn't look like it's going to be very easy.
Yeah, so what I know about Zach Gallen, I believe he was part of the Jazz Chisholm trade. Jazz Chisholm now with Miami. It's one of those trades where both teams can be like, ah, yeah, it worked out for both of them, I think you can say at this point. But yeah, Zach Gallen, you know, like we said earlier, the Diamondbacks are succeeding based off their pitching. Gallen's got to have a bad one eventually. So there's my spin zone. Is, you know, it's kind of like Melanson tonight, right? He came in with a 6.75 ERA, been struggling, blown like 4 games. Well, he got right just in time when the Cubs came to town. Well, maybe we can reverse that tomorrow. Maybe Gallen can give up 3 runs tomorrow, and, you know, the Cubs can sneak one out with Hendricks giving us 7 innings. I don't know, but
you could bet on that at PointsBet, Cody. You can. I'd do it with your money, not mine.
Yeah. It'll be a good pitching matchup. I won't bet on Hendricks going 8 2/3 innings again, but if he can give you 6 or 7, that at least probably will put the Cubs in position to win. He really succeeded last time he just got so much soft contact, and he's facing a lineup now that's nowhere near the level of the Padres. So, I mean, if you want to talk yourself into thinking he could go a complete game, maybe, you know, thinking that way might work. I mean, Ketel Marte right now is the only one up in that lineup that's kind of like, you know, scary, right, in my opinion. So maybe Hendricks can give us a close replica of what he did on Monday. I don't know, but they'll definitely need a strong outing out of him for them to have a chance to win this game. And, you know, again, last year, this is kind of how it went. He struggled in April and he started to get together in May and going into June. So, you know, we'll see if he can at least build off the last performance.
Well, hopefully they can get 2 or at least 1 in this series. Now, you won't be there Monday, right? You're not going to be here. You're off.
Yeah, so my birth was Monday the 16th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my birthday is Tuesday, the 17th.
So you will be there Tuesday?
I'll be at work Tuesday. So the reason that I took Monday off is my girlfriend's brother, who lives in Texas, his birthday's like around the same date. I think it's Sunday or on Monday. It's either Sunday or Monday.
Okay.
But anyway, my girlfriend's parents just got a handful of bleacher seats for all of us to go to the Cubs game.
Nice.
Again, he hasn't gone to a game this year because he lives in Texas, right? So we're kind of going because he's coming back, and also like our birthdays are like right near each other. So should be fun. Probably out in left field Monday night, and hopefully the Cubs can beat the Pirates for him and for me.
Wait, Natalie, our producer, has a birthday too on the same date? And Carlos Pena, is that what she's trying to say? She's sending a private chat here. Now, everybody's got the same birthday. You guys are all of Tuesday.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And it's like the Cubs had 3 birthdays. Now we got 3 coming up on Tuesday. Boy, it's the birthday month. We're going to have to see if we can get
May birthdays are the best. I always tell people having your birthday in May is, it's like perfect, because it's not right after Christmas, and it's also like right as especially here in the Midwest, the weather is getting warmer, so you're able to do more. You know, if you have your birthday in like December or January, you're probably spending your time inside. Yeah. So it'd be outside for my birthday, and I mean, I'm turning 31. I don't really celebrate my birthday anymore. That's why I don't really mind coming in and doing the show with you guys and hanging out with you all on my birthday. So,
nice.
Yeah,
so we'll see you on your birthday then.
Yeah, you'll see me on Tuesday. And I think Corey's coming in my spot.
Yep,
on Corey, Monday.
And possibly another guest. We'll have an announcement on that if that happens.
Yeah.
But we will see. So enjoy the game. We'll see you on your birthday. And hopefully the Cubs can get one or two the rest of this weekend.
Yeah.
And thanks to everybody out there who stayed up with us early morning, 12:50 in the morning, after the Cubs lose 4-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thanks for listening to the CHGO Cubs post-game show podcast. Corey and Brendan will be in on Sunday to have a recap of the whole series for you. I'll see you on Monday. Then Cody will be back on Tuesday. And until then, fly the W.